Acts chapter 9. Now, we had a lot of children because, you know, there's more than one way to build a church. Amen. God loves families. People say, wow, you have a big family. And sometimes I use that as a witnessing tool. I say, well, I know someone that has a bigger family. You do? I said, yeah, God. And I talk about how you get in his family. And, you know, being born once, you wish you never had. If you aren't born twice, need to be born twice. If you're not born twice, you wish you'd never been born once. You know, for the unsaved person, this is the best it's ever going to be. But for the saved person, this is the worst it's ever going to be. Amen? So praise the Lord. Good to be here. Well, I appreciate the music this morning, song leading, the choir, and the special number and all that was really good. If my wife was here, maybe we would sing a duet, but I'm not going to sing a solo. So far, we still have three children traveling with us, so we can cover all four parts, you know. But when it gets down to just me, it's pretty lame, you know. So anyway, Acts chapter 9, verse number 15 is where we want to be this morning. Acts chapter 9, verse number 15. And the Bible says, read it with me out loud, Acts 9:15 if you've got it, and I'm reading from a King James Version here, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, out loud together, ready? But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, Jesus is telling Ananias that Paul was going to be a chosen vessel to carry his name. Every one of us, really, once we get saved, are a chosen vessel to carry his name. I want to talk to you this morning about a cup and its contents. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for what we've already been blessed with. It's a wonderful thing when we sing the praises of heaven to you and we get blessed. What a joy. We thank you for those that have participated in the music, the offering, those that are maybe working in a nursery or children's church. We thank you for all these. We thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus. If it wasn't for him, there'd be no reason to meet this morning. If it wasn't for your word, we would have nothing to teach us really about Jesus. I pray this morning that we would do justice to the word of God. It's a sacred, sacred book, and this is a sacred, sacred desk, and it's a sacred, sacred time. So may we not take these wonderful treasures and precious jewels that we have lightly. Help us now. Help us. We need thee in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about some cups. And I went downstairs and I scarfed up some cups from the, or actually across the way, not downstairs. I scarfed up some cups from the kitchen over there. We have some cups here this morning. And these cups are all a little different. Now, there are some matters about these cups. I'm going to give you some, what I call some irrelevant matters about these cups. And then I'm going to give you some important matters about these cups, all right? So, these cups, of course, are all different, but there are some irrelevant matters. And I want you to liken maybe yourself to a cup here this morning. Now, really, one of the irrelevant matters is the color of the cup. It doesn't really matter if the cup is dark or light in color, does it? The outside of the cup really doesn't matter. The capacity really doesn't matter. How much a cup can hold. We've got some big cups, and we've got some little cups. You say, well, I want another cup of tea. Notice I didn't say coffee. Amen? I don't know why I picked this one up. You can break this cup as far as I'm concerned. I don't like coffee. But you can just get another cup of tea. So the capacity is not really that important. The color's not important. The capacity is not important. Can I say the contour? The shape really doesn't matter. Whether it's tall or small. The calendar of the cup doesn't matter. How old it is. You ever worry about, let's see, I wonder how old that cup is there. Well, I'm not going to use it if it's only 13 years old. I'm going to have to use it when it's 30 years old. Those are some matters that really, really don't matter. So there's some irrelevant matters about a cup, but let's consider the important matters about a cup. And I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 this morning. Let me give you 8 important matters about a vessel, a cup. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Genesis 1, 26. We read here, and God said, let us make man in our image. One of the important matters about the cup is that there is a craftsman. There is a creator of the cup. I mean, if there were no creator, you couldn't have a cup. Cups don't fall out of the sky. So there is a craftsman for the cup. And you might then look on the bottom of a cup or the side to find out, you know, where it's made, perhaps who made it. But it was made. You were made. I was made. We were in Adam. We were made. Do you know that when you get saved, it's like you get newly made? If any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the cup, the vessel, you know, we look at a vessel, we say, that's nice. Now, I do like this cup. Okay? Amen. Amen. Brother, let's go golfing tomorrow. I got the day off. I just didn't bring my clubs. I got some more. You got some more? I haven't been golfing for a couple of years. You'd probably beat me. That's probably why you want to go with me. Play somebody you haven't played and hasn't played golf. What were we talking about? We were talking about the craftsman of the cup. And really, when you look at a cup like this, or whoever, now this is probably done with some sort of laser computer or something like this, but I have a couple of cups that have been given to me. One of them was made with Minnesota clay, and it was handmade. Each one was different. And then they were shipped out to a supporting church of ours in Pennsylvania. And they gave me one of these cups that was handmade. You know, every one of us is a little bit different. But the cup is not supposed to bring attention to itself. It's supposed to bring attention, really, to the one who made the cup. I don't care how young we are, ma'am. We are all our lives, really, to give glory to the one who made us. We're not supposed to be all concerned about ourselves. That's called pride. Pride goes before what? Yeah. But there is a craftsman. There is a craftsman. There's a second aspect about the cup that I want you to understand, and that is the cost. It did cost something to make that cup. Now, what we realize it's just made of clay. A lot of it's just made of clay. And so that's not real valuable. But there is a cost. I mean, I guess most of our body is water, and the rest of it is dirt. And so I don't really know how much. One time years ago, I found out, this is years ago, 30 years ago, that if you were to take a body and disk the elements and things like that in the body, we were worth about $1.78. We sure like to think that we're worth more than that, don't we? But what is it that gives a person value? Well, it's not so much, you know, what I do, but what the Lord has done. What gives me value is that I am in the image of God. Now, that's marred by sin. We understand that. But the precious blood of Christ to make us that new creature in Christ, that cost, that which was laid down, His precious blood, the cost of a cup. The craftsman of a cup. But I want you to consider, let's go to 2 Timothy, and let's look at let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's talk about the composition of a cup. The composition of a cup. Second Timothy chapter 2. Did you ever notice all the T's are alphabetized in your Bible? T-H, T-I-M, and then Titus. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 20 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. What is a cup made of? Well, I suppose most of these cups are made of the same substance with the exception of this. This would be made of glass, which I guess glass comes from sand, so most of these others. But, you know, sometimes you have cups that are plastic cups, don't you? And sometimes you have styrofoam cups. And they're okay. We use styrofoam cups, plastic cups down at the camp this last week. You can use those. That's fine. But I don't know. Am I wrong? Are styrofoam cups microwavable safe? They certainly can't stand the fire, can they? But cups that can endure the fire a lot of times have already gone through the fire. And generally, the fire makes them a little bit more pure, a little bit more fun. Now, we don't like fire. We don't like tests. We don't like trials in our lives. And somehow we think maybe God has gotten a little bit forgetful of me down here in the fire, and we don't realize. And I'm preaching to myself. That's good preaching, Brother Jerry, you know. We don't realize that what God is doing is a lot of times He's designing us and putting us in fire for more and more and more usefulness, making us stronger. And I think that fire is a good analogy because, you know, over in Africa, we have a lot of the homes are made of bricks. And we actually constructed a church building out of bricks that we made. Went down to the river, shoveled sand onto the pickup, got up to where we were making the bricks, shoveled it all off by 40 truckloads of sand and what we call bow sand. It's like a cement type builder sand. And soil, we had to haul in soil for the foundation. That's a lot of work. But the bricks over there, when we made the bricks, we mixed all the cement by hand. Guys are working there. I didn't pay them. I said, this is your church building. We'll all volunteer. I'll buy the tools and let's make it together. So we did that. But anyway, we made these bricks and they make, I don't know, a few hundred bricks a Saturday. And by the end of a year, we had enough bricks to build the building. But something that they would do is when they would make these bricks is every day they would go out there and they'd spray water on them. Now, some of you construction guys probably know why they were doing that, but I didn't know why they were doing that. I said, why are you spraying? We want them to dry. They said, oh no, Maruti, if we don't make them wet on the outside, then they will dry on the outside and they'll still be wet on the inside and they'll fall apart. So by keeping them wet on the outside, they would tend to dry from the inside out and they'd be stronger. So the sun could either make something strong or make something weak, if you understand. And so the guy that was the brick maker had to know what he was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. They knew what they were doing. And God knows what He's doing. When He's constructing us and making us, what? Because it's the purpose of usefulness. You know, I went into a house one time. Lady wanted to give me tea. And so she went to her cupboard. I kid you not. She went to her cupboard and she opened it up and she had at least 12 tea sets. They collect cups, they collect tea sets, everything like that. They're cheap over there, okay? So she's collecting these. And she got them out and she washed them off, things like that. And I thought, man, lady, why do you have all those tea sets? Now let me ask some of you ladies, why do you have all those tea sets? Why do you have all those cups? Sometimes we just, you know, we have them for decoration, ornaments, things like that. But no, God is not making cups to look at. Cups are designed to be used, aren't they? Am I speaking heresy? Is this something you never heard? I don't think so. You've heard this. So there's a composition of a cup. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7 talks about that fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about how someday we're going to have our works tested so as by fire. The workman is often tested today. His works will be tested later. Abraham, wasn't he tested when he was called to take his son Isaac up onto the mountain? Wasn't the nation of Israel tested when they went not the short way to Canaan, but the long way to Canaan? Weren't Philip, or I should say Paul and Silas, weren't they tested when they were in jail? At midnight, wasn't Philip proved to see what he would do in John chapter 6? I mean, we get tested. If you're not tested, you're dead. We get tested. We get tested. So there's a composition of a cup. Don't fight against what God's trying to do with your life. Fourthly, let's look at that same reference there, 2 Timothy 2, verse number 21. We were in verse 20, weren't we? Let's look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, ready for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. I want to mention here the consecration of a cup. In other words, the cup has a purpose, and the cup is set aside for the master's use. Don't ever forget that. Now, when I try to deal with precious souls, I try to let them know prior to getting saved that their life is going to change. I think not to tell them that is dishonest. Now, I don't know how their life is going to change, and I don't know what sort of things are going to, you know, but I said, listen, your life is going to change. And I, a lot of times, will use illustration of a chair in the house there. And I will say, now, when you invite the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to understand something. He's the creator of this world, He becomes the Lord of your life, and He's going to want to rearrange your furniture. And if you're not ready for your furniture to be rearranged, you're not ready to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and your life. That's just where I'm at. There's a purpose for being saved. And it's not just, it is, I understand, it is an escape out of hell, but there's a better purpose. If it was just, listen, if it was just an escape out of hell, the moment you got saved, God would kill you and take you to heaven. Why doesn't God do that? Because we have a purpose in this life. To honor Him, to praise Him, to get the gospel out, to meet the needs of... I mean, there are a lot of purposes, and God knows... Now, a lot of these cups are made for advertising, you know, or maybe this is a particular set that you have downstairs, I don't know, and maybe it's made to serve a lot of people. This looks like, you know, I have something... Oh, I didn't bring this. I should have brought you one, brother. When I was up in Zimbabwe, and the... Oh, my... The Zimbabwe economy just really had a meltdown a few years ago. So much so that they didn't even put the prices on any items at the beginning of the day, because at the end of the day it doubled. I'm not kidding you. And so their money, I had a $1 trillion bill I was going to give you that is worth absolutely nothing. But anyway, now why did I say that? I don't know why I said that. There's a cup that's set apart. You've been set apart. Salvation, sanctification has three different meanings, and one of those is that when you get saved, you are sanctified. Then as you grow, you are being sanctified. And then someday when you get to heaven, you will totally be sanctified. Did I just preach heresy? That's truth. So when you get saved, there's a purpose, there's a reason why you got saved. And so you have been sanctified, you've been consecrated, you've been set apart. Now, I don't know what that is for your life. But God has a purpose for... I know I'm supposed to be here today. I don't know why. I don't understand it. Lord touched my heart about preaching Brother Cromie, and I called up your pastor. We bumped into each other on accident. As he mentioned, back in April. So I don't know why I'm supposed, but I know I'm supposed to be here. And I'm just trying to be a vessel. Just, Lord, okay, what do you want? What do you want today? What do you got for me? What about this week? And I'm just trying to be pliable, usable, available. It's a consecrated vessel. So you didn't get saved for yourself. You got saved for the Savior. If you sense that you're not being used of the Lord, it's Lord. Now, sometimes God is using you. And sometimes He has these cups, and, you know, He sets some different places here, and, you know, you see Him using one cup, and you say, why doesn't He use me? Well, He's getting ready. Maybe He's still firing you, or maybe He's cleaning you, or whatever, but He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose. And I tell you, that gives such meaning to life and value to life when you realize there's purpose. I got saved for a reason. I'm alive for a reason. I'm on the search for the reason. Not just happenstance, not just chance, not just I floated out of a scum pond somewhere, like the evolutionists say, and say, you know, the top dog wins and the power to the biggest and the best and things like that. No. You have real value, real meaning in life when you see things from a biblical perspective. Amen. Amen. So we are consecrated. Number five. Look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 8. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Let's just run through Matthew. Run to Matthew 8, and then let's run through Matthew 8. Can we do that? Matthew chapter 8. Just want to show you something here. I want to talk to you now about the controller of the cup. The controller of the cup. In Matthew chapter 8, I mentioned a little bit ago that the Lord Jesus Christ is called Lord for a reason. Okay, he's called Lord for a reason. Matthew chapter 8, look at verse number 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse number 6. Here's another guy saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home. Verse number 8, same guy says, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Drop down to verse 19. And a certain scribe came unto him, saying, Master, same idea there, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You get down to verse number 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, over in the Sotho language, they have this word, morena. And when I first started going out in the villages, these guys would see me and say, morena, morena. I said, what's that mean? Morena. Well, I got to reading the Sotho Bible, and I noticed when these guys were interpreting it for me that when I got to the word Lord, they'd say, morena. So these guys in the village would say, morena. And I said, morena. I said, no, I'm not your morena. Morena is there. I'm mojera. I'm your friend. Now, my daughter made a mistake one time, and instead of calling somebody mojera, she called him a lawafa, armpit, okay? So, and I've had my share of bumblings as well. One time I was talking about the Batoro. Not the Broto. The Batoro was falling from heaven. The butter was falling from heaven. I meant to say the bread, the broto. So I've had my problems. I've had my issues. But morena means Lord, but it also means sir. So they were just giving me a title of respect when they said morena. But don't you understand something this morning? That morena means the Lord Jesus is the boss. He's the Lord. These cups, I was asking Sister Flaming if she'd ever seen a cup. Maybe you have. Have you ever seen these joke cups that have the handles on the inside? They have them. I wish you would have bought one sometime. If you see one, buy me one, ship it to me. These cups have handles on the outside. They're designed to be controlled by somebody else, not ourselves. And we a lot of times, I'm running my life. I know what I'm doing. I'm in charge here, God. And we're just like a handle on the inside of the cup. When we try to determine, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be this, and I'm going to go there. No. It's the Lord that is the one who is to be in control. And if you don't let him, you know, you get around other believers who have their handles on the outside. Can you imagine that? All these cups have their handles on the outside. They all look the same. I know. Okay, I'm sorry for you lefties. Let's turn it around like this. See, look at how they discriminate. Poor lefties can't even read what's on their cup. We need to take this coffee cup. But you get around people who are surrendered to the Lord, and you know why you feel so out of place? Because your handle's on the inside. And you look weird and are weird and feel weird and say weird things because you got all these dedicated children of God saying, the Lord is my Lord, and he's in charge whenever he wants to do. And here you are with a handle on the inside. No, there's a controller of the cup, and that is the Lord. But we've got to go on. I want to mention here, number 6, the convenience of a cup. The convenience of a cup. When you go to your cupboard and you're going to have a cup of tea or coffee or something, if you're like me, I generally just pull the cup out that's out front. I usually don't go digging through. For one thing, I'm not tall enough. But it's a lot of work to find that cup that's hiding in the back. And I just want to ask you this morning, are you like Abraham? Are you out on the front of the shelf? Say, here am I, Lord. Are you like David who said, I delight to do thy will, O my God? Are you like Isaiah who said, here am I? Are you like Paul who said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Are you like Christ who said, not what I will, not as I will, but as thou wilt? Are you available? Are you convenient? One of the ways you can test that is, have you ever gone to the preacher or maybe one of the other leaders in the church and said, hey, what do you need me to do, preacher? Preacher, I was watching the choir and I noticed that, let's see, there was an empty seat here. And there were, I think, two empty seats here. And I couldn't see over there, but I think maybe the other seats are full. Preacher, you need me to fill one of those seats? Hey, preacher, they probably have lime in the water here, and probably there might be a buildup. You need me to clean the baptistry, preacher? Pastor, how's the schedule in the nursery? Need me to volunteer back there? Boy, Pastor, looks like we need to vacuum the carpet. When was the last time this was cleaned with furniture polish, Pastor? I wonder if we ever volunteer. I wonder if we're ever available. Or I wonder if we're just kind of tucked in the back of the shelf. I just hope nobody asks me to do anything. I'm really not. Now, I'm not saying in a proud way, oh, look at me. What do? Man, I can play the piano too. Watch this. You need to call on me to play the piano. I can't play the piano like those gals. But what if they weren't willing to do it? Now, I don't know if somebody asked them or arm wrenched them, you know, anything like that, arm twisted. I don't know if they did that, but probably they practiced and volunteered and things like that. I'm asking, are you convenient? Are you available? You have some, you know, listen, someone said this to me years ago, and I think it's so true. A lot of times if we see something that needs to be done, a lot of times it's because God's placed that on our heart to do it. Well, those flags up there haven't been ironed in I don't know how long. Well, get your iron out and a towel and make it nice and damp and iron those vinyl flags. Well, the clock is. By the way, I look at crooked things. I look at crooked pictures. And that one thing back there, Camp Shatek, you see, anybody look, turn around and look at that. It's hanging a little bit crooked. I'll probably straighten that before I leave. That one over there is a little crooked too, the one that's way over by the window. I'll probably do that. I frustrate myself, run around straightening pictures up. But maybe God wants you to be involved in that because you're the one that sees the need. There's some dust on that fake plant over there. How do we get that off? We'll take it outside and I don't know how to do it. Wash up it. I mean, if you see a need, be available. We got to go on. There are the last two most important aspects of a cup, though. Now, the others are important. These are the most important. And I want you to turn to James chapter 4. I know you probably know this verse. You probably memorized it. James is a good book, by the way, to memorize some verses. James chapter 4. I think the two most important aspects of a cup. You know where I'm going with this. When you read this verse, James chapter 4, verse number 8. James 4, verse 8. By the way, everything I've said this morning is not new. If it was new, it wouldn't be true. It's just a reminder. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. What's the next word? Cleanse. You know, the Bible talks a lot about holiness. Talks a lot about purity. I want to talk about the cleanliness of a cup. Is a cup clean? Now, there's another thing that really bugs me. Okay, now please, I don't preach this message all the time, and I made the mistake of preaching this at my church, and I got in trouble. But I'm going to say it here because I'm leaving town shortly thereafter, all right? So I'm going to say it. But I made this mistake of saying, I don't like to see a dish or a sink full of dirty dishes. And if I see that, it's like the crooked pictures. Okay, I charge in there and want to do those dishes. So please, don't invite me over for your lunch today, especially you big families. Brother Wilhite, we heard what you preached. Now, if you don't live it up, you're a hypocrite. I love my sister, but my sister hates to wash dishes. And if you go to her house, she will have purchased how many sets of dishes with coupons at the grocery store, you know, to have stacks and stacks of dishes. And you got to go in and wash them all, you know. That's why I don't visit my sister very often. But is your cup clean? Because, you know, there are some important matters about this, but I want a clean cup. We were at the camp yesterday, and we were picking up stuff afterwards. And here was a cup that had gotten stuck in with the other clean cups in the plastic sleeve. And I pulled it out, and here it was a dirty cup, had dirt on the inside. Someone had inadvertently stuck it up in there. So if you weren't paying attention, you would have drunk water or Kool-Aid or something out of a dirty styrofoam cup. Don't you always check the cup before you... Now, in Africa, it gets so dusty and dirty that a lot of times they will have to wash their cups before they use them. How many of you think these cups get real upset and squeal like a stuck pig when they're put in the hot water? They don't do that, do they, young man? We do that, the fire, the hot water, something like that, and God's just trying to prune us, clean us. Why? Why? Simple answer. So he can use this. So he can use this. Now, I realize some cups, we're going to check this, okay? Just as I suspected. Look at that. You're impartial. Which one's stained? That's right. The one with coffee. All right, I grew up on the farm, right? And my mom loved coffee, and so she would always had her special coffee cup, and she was always sipping on it all around the farm. And so then she would lose her cup, so she would send the four of us out trying to find her coffee cup. I mean, it might be in the tractor toolbox, it might be in the crotch of a tree, on top of a fence post, a shelf in the barn where we milk cows. I mean, and so that's why I got an aversion to coffee. Okay, I just can't stand. I love the smell of it. I'll smell it all day long. Yeah, I'm not chasing any more coffee cups. Our cups need to be clean. And we don't, you know, I hate flies, okay? I hate frogs, but I hate flies worse, and so I'll tolerate the frogs because the frogs kill the flies. We were doing a study one time here in our family devotions talking about different animals and how they teach us lessons, and I found out this is going to gross you out, all right? So if you don't want to hear it, plug your ears. Every fly has on its feet 500,000 germs. And the inside of a fly has 30,000 germs. And so every time it wants to eat something, you know, it regurgitates that syrupy stuff and brings out more germs. So I can't stand flies. I go berserk. Follow me around. We'll either be straightening pictures or we'll be washing dishes or we'll be killing flies, okay? We stay busy, all right? In Africa, we have a lot of each. Are we clean? Now, look at this one here. I'm glad there was this glass cup. This might be clean on the inside, but a lot of smudges and maybe some dirt on the outside. And we've let some things come into our life. And so what's on the inside can't be seen from the outside because of filth in our lives. And that brings me to point number 8, the most important point, most important aspect about a cup. It's not really the cup, but the contents of the cup. What's on the inside? What's on the inside? That's what's most important. So which makes all these other things really irrelevant or not near as important. The contents. In Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 5, we are instructed that we get the Spirit's indwelling when we get saved. That's why when you got saved, things started to change. You started to understand things, see things a little bit differently. That's because of the Spirit's indwelling. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, it talks about how the Spirit gives us a knowledge of His will. John chapter 15, Galatians chapter 5, talk about the joy that comes from knowing His will. So we get the Spirit of God on the inside so that you know His will, not so we can be miserable. So we glorify the Lord, and somehow, as I just mentioned earlier, here we were praising the Lord, and we got joy out of that. What's on the inside of your cup? Now, maybe this morning your cup is empty. Maybe you came in here, maybe it's the first time you're here, maybe you've been here a few times, and you say, you know, there's nothing in my cup. I really don't know, I can't look back to a time and a place where I saw myself as a lost sinner in need of a Savior, and I saw my sin, and I was bothered about that. That's called conviction. And I realized that I needed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't look back at a time when I did that. Maybe you look back at a time when you did that, but you just did that because everybody else in Bible school was doing it. And you really didn't do it because you saw that you had a need. Have you, the Spirit of God, do you have anything in your cup? Are you yielded to that Spirit of God so that you know His will? Do you know it? Which is good and necessary, but do you do it? I heard one preacher say, and he said it many times, read to do. Read to do. Do you have the Spirit of God? If you do, are you yielded to Him to do His will? Now, we're a vessel. We're a vessel. We're a cup. We're a cup. In the Old Testament, you find it at least three places that I could remember where kings used cups. Solomon had all these cups. Belshazzar had these cups. Ahasuerus had these cups. Monarchs were highlighted as using cups. There's a song we like to sing. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. We've sung it many, many times in Africa and taught that. And it goes like this. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I realize that Jesus is coming someday to be a king, sit on the Davidic throne in Jerusalem and rule for 1,000 years. I know that. I got my theology down with that. But you know what? That same Jesus wants to be king in your life over your cup. Are you letting Him use you like those monarchs use their cups? Or is your cup dirty? Or is it tucked away in the back and you don't want to be out in the front? You're not available for this. No way are you going to go mow grass for Camp Chautauqua. No way am I going to vacuum. No way am I going to sweep the front steps. Or no way am I going to clean the glass there or straighten the pictures when Brother Wilhite's gone. No way am I going to do that. Are you available? You sure? I can probably test that. Preacher said, so-and-so, would you do this? Well, preacher, I don't know. I'm kind of busy now, you know. I got a lot of television to watch. You know, school's rolling around, and I know I graduated 5 years ago, but I'm still trying to remember what I learned in school. Are you available and willing? I hope you are. I hope you are. That's why you've been saved. Now, I don't know anybody really here. But there's a reason why God showed us these verses this morning. I trust you, let God speak to your heart. Let's pray. Let's all stand together. Heavenly